Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is D-Ray Pemberton, and he's from Pemberton Fishing. How long have you been fishing, D-Ray?
Since about 1988 was when I first started.
And how did you get in the business?
I had an interest in fishing while I was going to the university here. Then when I graduated, I didn't really want to go work in the city or under a microscope or something. So I could read the writing on the wall with the fishing game laws that salmon fishing at that point was already, you had a limited entry permit in order to participate, and I could tell that crabbing was going to go that way too. And so I just started crabbing a couple small boats, and then when the crab permits did come out years later, I was included, grandfathered in, you know. So I didn't want to leave the area, and I saw that they made money. My last couple years at the university, I would crab a little bit during December and make enough money to kind of, you know, squeak by as a starving student. I had my own little skiff, and there was one other guy. Occasionally we'd work together. He was a math student here, and we'd just go out together out of Trinidad.
And is it pretty dangerous work?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you hear that a lot. We have equipment that we use, and if you maintain your equipment and you watch the weather and use good discretion, then you would think that my odds are good, that things will always go pretty well. But still, the ocean is not prejudiced at all. It'll take the best boat or the worst boat, the most experienced skipper and crew or the least experienced skipper and crew. It's a random thing.
Mm-hmm. And how many work on your boat now?
Right now, I'm just working with my son. During the slower parts of the season, I'll typically have just one crewman, and even sometimes I work by myself. But when crab season starts, I'll have two crewmen on the boat, and even sometimes I'll have one other person on shore making the bait so that when we do come in, my crewman can get a little bit of sleep, and then we'll turn around and go back out again.
And what's the bait?
Oh, we use squid and mackerel and razor clams and tuna heads and salmon heads and cheap salmon carcasses, all of this for crab. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, anything rotten. Well, crabs don't really like rotten bait. We use pretty fresh bait. Sometimes the squid we use, you know, it's food grade squid, calamari style.
Uh-huh.
And we cut it up and put it in bait jars and then use it for bait.
Oh, okay. And how did you get your son involved in the business?
He just saw that my crewman made money, and he was still kind of going to school, and he just was interested in, you know, the money end of it. And he realized he'd make more money if he was out there helping catch the product. So he's been helping me just basically starting this year.
Okay. And you bring in live crab, which you're selling at the farmer's market these days. And you also fish for king salmon. Is there any other type of fish that you go out for?
I longline for black cod, which is a sable fish. And historically, that fish has always traveled over to the Orient to be sold. So we as Americans, we didn't know what a great fish it is. It has a lot of fat in it, and it's tasty. So when I'm not doing anything else, or if it hasn't been a great crab season, then I'll longline for black cod. Or if I have a crewman that really needs to keep making money, I'll longline for black cod during the off part of the crab season. Or if there's no salmon season locally, then I'll do that then. I'll longline for black cod then.
How do you equip the boat differently for the different type of fishing?
Well, when I'm crabbing, the boat's pretty stripped down, except for a crab block, what everybody sees on TV, on that television show that brings us a lot of attention. Just the block hanging off the side of my boat when I'm crabbing. When I'm salmon trolling, you know those boats because you see them out in the water and they have two big arms that swing out. And then we have stainless steel wire that's spooled up on the side of the boat and 50 or 60 pound leads that are attached to that wire. Those wires go down and we string off leaders essentially from that wire so we can put, you know, lots and lots of hooks in the water. When I'm longlining for black cod, the boat's kind of stripped down again, but in the center of my boat, I have a longline hauler similar to a crab block, but it's attached inside the boat and it just hauls up the rope from, you know, 800,000 feet below.
Oh, and that would be something that has to be mechanically done.
Yeah, it's all hydraulic.
And how is salmon fishing done differently in a commercial fishing boat than a sport fishing boat?
Well, in a sport fishing boat, you're probably using fishing poles, and we don't use fishing poles at all. As I said, we string those leaders onto the stainless wire as it goes down, and we'll just stack leader after leader after leader on each wire. And the boat will have 4 to 6 wires coming off of it. And then when we haul those wires up, if there's a fish attached to that leader, then we haul them in by hand. We hand over hand the line till it gets to us. And if you're sport fishing, you have to net that fish. And we don't have to net them if they're legal size fish. We bring them in with a gaff, pick them with a gaff, and, you know, right through the head. The fish markets don't want holes in the meat, so between the eyes and the gills. And so you just drag it to the back of the boat. And if it's a big fish, you know, that can be an issue. They fight. And sea lions compete with trying to get dinner also.
I've heard of that, people dragging in the fish and having the sea lion come right after it.
Yeah, they'll do that. You know, they have a big brain. They're smart, and they're good at what they do. They definitely take fish.
When you're out there crab fishing, and then I know you bring them to the farmer's market and they're still alive, how does that whole process work that you can keep them alive that long?
Well, when I'm crab fishing, I run the traps up, and then we pick out the legal crabs, the males of legal size, and everything else gets turned loose. Then the legal males, we put them into water, water that's pumping through the boat, and that way they think they're still in the ocean. It's seawater that's pumping constantly through the boat. And then when we get in to deliver, we'll have those crabs lifted off the boat at the fish market. Sometimes they'll keep them alive themselves, but my company keeps them alive for the most part, the company I work for, or I sell to mostly. But if they're not going to keep them alive and they're going to sell them and freeze them or something like that, then they'll just let them sit around for a while, even after they get to the market. Then maybe late that night, they'll cook them all in big batches.
So they are still alive, though, when they go into the pot to cook?
Yeah, I think the fish companies, when they do it, they let them sit for enough time that the crab does not clutch together real tight.
Or
I think that they can break off legs if they're real fresh. If they're real lively and drop them into boiling water, I think they can break off legs. They never do it for me, but I'm kind of gentle with them, and I only do a couple at a time.
Okay.
But I bring them in alive. It relieves a lot of the guilt that a person might feel from, you know, being responsible for taking a lot of life.
Uh-huh. Where is your boat actually based?
I tie up in Woodley Island down in Eureka, and I fish out of there.
And now's a good time to talk about the name of the boat.
Name of my boat is the Schultze Baby. And I bought this boat from a gentleman, a good Italian gentleman in San Francisco. The original name of the boat when it was built and fished up in Alaska was called the Satisfaction. But if you're an Italian gentleman and you're partially superstitious, which I think most fishermen are, then the Satisfaction is too positive of a word. You know, you're being presumptuous that you're going to be satisfied with your catch every day. So he changed the name. And in his family, they named their boats basically after their dogs. And he had a little schnauzer named Schultze. And so he named the boat the Schultze Baby. And I considered changing the name back to Satisfaction. But there's folks in the Eureka fishery, and one of them is a boat builder. And she told me, D-Ray, I can think of 5 other Satisfactions from here to Ketchikan, but I can't think of one other Schultze Baby. So I left it at Schultze Baby.
That's great. We know who you are when we see Schultze Baby out there. And now you sell some of your product directly to the consumer, but you also sell some wholesale, it sounds like.
Yeah, mostly I sell wholesale. When we begin our crab season, we get the bulk of what we're going to catch in a short period of time. So I pull up to a pier at the New Fisherman's Terminal, and Wild Planet is the company that I sell to there, and they offload for me, and then I just go pick up my check twice a month. But this time of year, when it slows down and when the farmer's market starts, I sell a little bit at the farmer's market, and, you know, it's just because I see the price of crab in the market, and it's pretty high, and I sell it for a little bit less than that. I feel like I sell it for what people can afford to pay for it in this area, so local people can eat a local product.
That sounds great. Now, if people want to reach you to get a hold of some of your product, how would they do that?
You could find me at Woodley Island Marina. I tie up at the dock that's closest to the Samoa Bridge. So right when you drive on the island, directly across from the National Weather Service building, then that parking lot is where we park. I'm on that I-dock that's the closest to the Samoa Bridge.
Okay. And if people wanted to give you a call?
The phone that I keep on the boat is 499-7958. Often at the farmer's market, I'll give somebody a phone number, and then they can get crabs during the week.
Great. Well, this has been a pleasure talking with D. Ray Pemberton from Pemberton Fishing. Thank you, D. Ray.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.